The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to the BS Report. Taping this on a Thursday, running it Friday. You might remember the old song by the Notorious B.I.G., Going Back to Cali. Bill Barnwell is going back to Boston. I don't know if the Notorious B.I.G. is going to write a song about this because he's been dead for like 15 years. But if he did, I think it would be a good title. Bill Barnwell, what's happening?
I think that song would do really well, especially considering he's been dead for 15 years now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that. And in the stat community, it would go over huge, obviously.
That really is the ancestral homeland of stats now is Boston, though.
So you made it a year in Vegas.
So far, you made it 51 weeks in, I think.
52, all right. You're right, I shouldn't have jinxed it. Assuming you make it through this last week, a lot of people who bet that you were going to die during this year are going to lose some money here. What made you decide to move back to the East Coast, other than the fact that Vegas is the weirdest place to live in America?
Well, Vegas is the weirdest place in America. That's what it boils down to. I mean, it's one of those things where there's just no like middle ground. Like, you can go out and party till 5 in the morning, or you can drive around in the suburbs, and there's no in between. There's no like, oh, I'm going to go out and, you know, get a drink with my friends and, you know, go watch a game at the bar or something. There's just, you're either going nuts or you're totally the blandest person on the planet, and there's no in between. And I kind of like in between, I discovered after living here for a year.
Hmm. Well, you're going back to Boston during a really, really strange sports time, because you have all the excitement for the Patriots. Now, every year they're excited about the Patriots, but people have a lot of confidence in this year's team. And then on the flip side, the Red Sox have just become a travesty. And just from a overall sports standpoint, one of the weirder times I can remember, where, especially if this hockey lockout ends, you might have the Red Sox, at least temporarily, as the number four most popular team, which I can't remember happening before.
Yeah, I didn't even think of it that way. But hopefully, I'm getting there, what, September 3rd? Yeah. Bobby Valentine might not be there on September 3rd. I mean, so that may work out better for me.
And if he stays?
If he stays, you could see.
Well, then you might see one of the all-time rollover tank jobs that's ever happened. So there's no way these guys want him coming back in 2013.
Oh, we may see the second half of the 2011 Tampa Bay Buccaneers season for the Red Sox in September, beginning of October.
Good point. He should put the Raheem Morris warm-up jacket on. So the biggest development, other than the fact that you're moving 3,000 miles, for you personally, is this coach's tape. I'm worried about you. I'm not, as your friend, not even as your boss, as your friend, I'm worried about you with this coach's tape. I don't know what you're going to be capable of. Walk me through your average week with the coach's tape channel.
Basically, I don't want to say football porn, but it's right in that, you know, that wheelhouse for me as far as things I'm going to be able to learn.
I got to say, for me too. It's not good for me. You're not married with two kids.
That's true. I don't even, basketball's not even my primary sport. I mean, imagine having access to, this kind of video for basketball 24/7. I mean,
But for me, it's like when you throw in 25 years of playing video games, and especially like Madden with that kind of angle and all the plays you think you're a genius for using. And I just feel like I've run probably a million plays in Madden over the course of my life.
That'd be
probably
a great number to find out.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is, but it's high. It's way higher than it should be. The chance to just watch that angle and see the offenses they run and how guys come off the ball in motion and, that whole part I'm just going to be riveted by. But then also to know, like, exactly who screwed up a play, it's going to put a big spotlight on some of these guys individually. It's going to be interesting because a lot of times we don't know, like, well, how'd that guy get open? We think we know, but we don't totally know. Now we're going to know every play.
Right. And it can go a couple different ways. I mean, there are some plays where we still won't know. I mean, if we have a guy who breaks downfield and he's wide open, and we see, you know, a cornerback and a safety pointing at each other and arguing as they chase him down. We're probably still not going to know, because it's so tough to really judge a defense from without knowing what the play call was. But there are definitely going to be plays where we see, you know, an offensive lineman just get blown over that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. And there's going to be a lot more accountability. And I think that if people are really hardcore football fans, they're absolutely going to go out and get this, just because it's proof of things that you couldn't have proven as frequently as a year ago.
And anybody who loves the NFL, I still love being home on a Sunday, and I like watching all the games at once and that whole thing. But, like, you know, I've been to the Super Bowl, I think, 8 of the last 10 years, and especially last year. I mean, I can still see Chad Johnson sitting on the left side of the field by himself. The Giants have one guy covering him. Both of their safeties are shaded to the other sides and closer to the line. Like, they're not worried about him at all. That's the stuff that I think people are going to be or people who care, I think, are going to be really interested in with this coaches tape thing. Like, to just sit there in the stadium and see how they were defending the Patriots in the second half was really fascinating. It never 100% translates to TV. The announcers kind of tell you, well, this is what's, but you can't really feel it unless you're experiencing it. And I think that's what's going to be cool more than anything.
Yeah, and I just wonder that, you know, I kind of worry that it's going to be more negative than positive when it comes to what people use it for, because I think it's going to be way easier to be like, okay, that guy missed this open receiver, or, you know, that guy blew that coverage, than saying, oh, well, this guy was so incredible, he, you know, blocked three guys in this play. I think it's you know, internet culture tends to be more negative towards players and teams than positive anyway, and I'm guilty of that myself, but hopefully we do get some opportunities to figure out, you know, what guys are doing well as opposed to, you know, what guys are just screwing up.
And the big winner is any kind of super creative offensive coordinator.
That's true. And I think any kind of creative super offensive coordinator, but also people who want to get into sports journalism. I think there's going to be like hundreds of opportunities now for saying, okay, I'm going to be the guy who breaks down offensive line play. You know, and you wouldn't have been able to do that 2 years ago without coaches film. But now that you can do it, it's just, you know, you're going to have a huge opportunity there for you. So
Were you just throwing down the gauntlet for Robert Mays? He wants to be the guy who breaks down offensive line play.
Robert Mays is one of the finest high school centers to ever come out of the state of Illinois. From what
he'll be the first to tell you, too. Yeah, I am excited for the offensive line play. I'm really excited to see some of the formations. I'm probably going to limit myself to maybe – I'll watch every Patriots coaching tape. I can tell you that right now. I watch every minute of every Patriots coaching tape. Other than that, I might just target like big games, or even use it, you know, as just for us as writers, like to be able to use it as a resource to be like, man, this San Diego offense is kind of effed up. What's going on here? I'm going to watch the coaches tape. Why can't Gates get open? What's going on with this offense? And now you have the coaches tape that you can kind of throw yourself into for 2 hours.
Right.
I think that's going to be cool.
I think the one thing I wish the NFL had that they used to have that they don't have anymore is you used to be able to actually embed video with the coaches' tapes. You could actually be like, okay, here's a play that happened where here's what the coaches' tape looked like, and you can't do that yet. So if anyone from NFL.com is listening, that is the one thing they need to add to make it a really worthwhile experience. But absolutely, being able to go back and research for a couple hours and watching, you know, 30, 40 plays on coaches' tape over the course of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, you actually are going to get some real knowledge that we wouldn't have had. So for $60, that's such a huge value. It's really great.
Yeah, and in basketball, I think it's almost gone a little too far, but the last couple of years, the ability of people like our own Sebastian Prudy to break down plays and be like, watch this. Here's why the Steve Nash, Dwight Howard pick and roll is actually going to be even more devastating than you thought. Here's an example from two different clips. If that can translate to football in a really understandable, relatable way, I think that would be good. Because I think we're all in the same boat. I don't think any of us – football is the one sport where you can kind of think you understand, but the level that those coaches are at is it's such a different level than we are. And, you know, you can try to learn as much as you can, but it's – you know, in basketball, I honestly feel like I could step in and coach the Clippers. I'd do bad. But I feel like I could do it for two quarters. Hey Chris, why don't you run a high screen with Blake? Football, you couldn't.
Yeah, you could get out of the way in basketball, I think, and probably do well enough. You know,
yeah.
Turning over the team to Chris Paul for a half at a time. But realistically, I mean, of course, even the worst coach in the NFL is going to know 1,000 times more than someone like me or you would know. But the reality is, you know, we're going to have opportunities not to gain everything they know, but to get little aspects. And, you know, Sebastian does great work, and you can – stats are one thing, and especially in football, stats can be a little troublesome, and there are some issues, but it's hard to argue with the combination of stats and actual, you know, video proof to back it up with. So I'm absolutely excited for it in that sense.
Following this football season, which we – how many days away are we now? 15?
Well, we have
14? 13?
Let's see, seven. This is Thursday. I believe it's 13 days away.
13 days away.
That's terrifying, by the way.
I know. You know,
I have so much writing to do between now and then.
I'm not ready at all. I told you this. Like, it's just the combination of how late the basketball season ended and then the Olympics, and all of a sudden it was August 20th, and I don't feel ready yet. I know you've been doing some great stuff for us on Grantland, but for me, it's like I never feel ready anyway until like the weekend before the season. This year, it's going to be like a giant cram course. What's the number one thing that you're feeling right now about this season that is getting too much? Like too many people are believing it's going to be true when you feel the opposite.
Okay, my thing is people are believing that the refs, whether it's replacement refs, or I could put it this way. People are believing that replacement refs are going to be the worst thing to ever happen to the NFL, and that if we just sign the new refs, that they're going to be this this total solution where we're going to get back to the old refs and everything's going to be fine. And the reality is the new refs are pretty bad, but the old refs are pretty bad too. It's not like we're gaining, you know, we're not like we're going back to cyborg refs who are perfect. We're going to get every call right. We're never going to screw up. Refs screw up all the time. So I don't think that if we end up bringing the, you know, some sort of replacement refereeing system into the NFL season, that it's going to, you know, dramatically affect the context of games. I think that the refs are screwing up a little bit now, but I think they'll be a little better as the preseason goes along. And then I think in the regular season they'll probably be okay. Not as good as the old refs, but, you know, close enough.
Would you add an extra instant replay for every team for each game, just as kind of a, you know, a buffer?
I would consider it, but I think the other thing is what people are going to realize during the regular season that's really annoying is reviewing turnovers after every turnover is going to just add a lot of time to the game. I think that there's so many turnovers that are just, you know, cut and dry, obvious.
Wait, explain that to people because I'm not sure everybody knows about that.
So basically it's just every, you know, last year they added the, I believe this is true, last year they added the automatic review for touchdowns.
Right.
Where there was a touchdown and called on the field, they would go back and review it. I believe this year they're going to do the same thing for turnovers, where if you turn the ball over, they're going to start reviewing it, you know, automatically on replay.
So even if it's an interception that somebody just clearly caught and ran out of bounds, still a review.
I believe that's the case. I mean, maybe there'll be some common sense cases where they won't do it, but we're talking about a lot of, you know, there's going to be a lot of turnovers this year and a lot of plays where we're going to have 2 or 3 minutes at a time where it just isn't really worth it. I would be more open to adding an extra challenge and saying, okay, you can only use this challenge for turnovers than having them review every single turnover.
Where do you lean on the Saints? Because this is where you and I become Jack and Locke from Lost. I feel like once your season has the stink on it, you can't shake it. And this is Barry and I talked about this yesterday on our fantasy podcast, or Wednesday. I wouldn't take Drew Brees this year because I feel like this whole Saints season is going to continue to be screwed up based on everything else that's already happened these past 6 months.
I agree with you, but I would still take Drew Brees because I think that if the Saints are an 8-8 team, they're going to have to throw a lot, and I would still want to have Drew Brees. Now, if you're talking about what I want to have, like the Saints defense, would I want to have any of their running backs? Yeah, not really. But you can still give me Drew Brees, and you can still give me Jimmy Graham, although Jimmy Graham's kind of overvalued right now. But definitely Drew Brees would be someone I'd still want to grab.
There's no Ewing theory potential, even though they already won the title with Sean Payton. Is there any sort of weird potential that they could rise to the occasion without him?
Well, you remember the Patriots Spygate year where it became their mantra really was basically, screw you, we're... You know, no one likes us. That's great. We're going to just blow out teams and not care. And they went 15-0 the rest of the way. You know, there's certainly a possibility that the Saints will, you know, just sort of build within and say, okay, and everyone thinks we're, you know, cheaters and scumbags. We're going to show them that we're every bit as good as we think we are.
But let's be honest. The real story with the Saints, they weren't that good last year. They played a terrible playoff game in San Francisco, like really bad. And I don't think this year's team is better than last year's team.
I'm inclined to go down, you know, to think that they would lose a couple games more than they lost last year anyway. I think this sort of just confirms it for me.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're in a very tough division. I personally think the Buccaneers are going to be way better than people realize. And you combine that with, you know, a pretty good Panthers team and a Falcons team that should be about as good as they were last year. I don't think they're going to finish in last place, but I think they're going to be probably 8-8, 9-7 team.
So you have the Buccaneers pegged into that spot that we see it every year, the team that got rid of a really bad coach and just by replacing him with a competent coach made a giant leap.
Doesn't it make sense where you have like the team that replaces their awful coach who everyone stopped caring about, and you replace him with the disciplinarian, the, you know, the tough guy who's going to make everyone show up 5 minutes early?
Yeah.
You know, doesn't it seem like that always means something, at least during the first year?
I mean, the Niners season was that version on steroids, and I will never forgive myself for missing it because it happens every year. And I got so transfixed by the whole Alex Smith component because he'd let me down the year before that I was just like, screw those guys. And meanwhile, you know, the Singletary to Harbaugh thing was about as dramatic as it gets. If it's not Tampa Bay, who are the other candidates for that?
I don't know. I mean, I was going to go with Miami, but now that they're starting Tannehill, I'm totally off that bandwagon. That was just the worst thing they could have done. If they had started Matt Moore, I honestly think they would have had a decent shot at making the playoffs.
You know what? It's funny because you and I always come to the same conclusions, but you're writing them on Grantland before I had a chance. I might just give up writing football. but you and I usually like the same things. You and I were two of the only people who really noticed that Miami team last year. Miami was like secretly good last year for the last 3 months, basically.
Yeah, they were terrible in the first half, and you know, but the second half of the year, they were great. They honestly outplayed the Patriots that second game last year, where they were up like 17-0 at halftime, right?
That was not a bad team. And you throw in like that crazy, stupid Tebow loss they had, which is the dumbest loss anybody had last season. But and they had another, they had one more tough loss too. But I thought they were pretty good, and I was with you. I didn't think Matt Moore was that bad. I would have waited a year.
Right. I mean,
I don't see the upside.
They have Andrew Luck, but they have Tannehill, who was an average quarterback in the Big 12 last year.
Yeah. And I, you know, doing the Hard Knocks thing seemed a little desperate to me. Signing Chad Johnson seemed desperate to me, considering, as we mentioned before, the Giants weren't even covering him in the Super Bowl. Like, what makes you think he's going to help your team this year? The Patriots couldn't even figure out how to use him. It seems like they squandered that. Also seems like we might have a lot of bad teams this year. I know we always have bad teams, but it's going to be over from just like trying to figure out who's going to be good and who's not. It seems like we're going to be in double figures pretty easily.
I think every year that we have, you know, increased passing in the league, it becomes more and more a league of whether you have a great quarterback or whether you don't have a great quarterback.
Yeah.
And if you have a terrible quarterback, you just, you know, pretty much can't compete unless you're the Niners and every other thing. You know, you're elite at every other aspect of the game besides quarterback. You know, you can pull it off if you can do that, but most teams don't have that option available to them.
It broke really well for the Patriots. They might have 3 6-win and under teams in their division. It's possible.
I'm higher on the Bills, but now the Dolphins are out for me. I'm a little higher on the Bills.
I'm focused on the Bills as well, but that's my one fear. I actually fear the Bills more than the Jets.
I don't blame you. I would too.
They just have better players. I mean, their blue chip guys, I think, are better. But and then they have the whole thing. Fitzpatrick was so bad last year, but then it turned out he was hurt. So I don't. Is he the Fitzpatrick from that first 5 weeks, or is he the, like, who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
And they have a couple playmakers.
And I will say this: the other team that I think people are sleeping on. People, you know, just are kind of writing them off, saying, okay, they're going to be average. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think that they're just an underrated team. They were better last year than people realize. If they have that one game where if Phillip Rivers doesn't fumble the snap before they're going to kick the game-winning field goal, I think it was against the Chiefs, you know, they win the division. They're 9-7. I mean, they lost the division because of that one thing.
Right.
And I just, you know, they have issues on the offensive line for sure, but they have a good pass rush, and I think they still have the best quarterback in the division.
But They lost Vincent Jackson. Then Brown broke his ankle. He's out half the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some injury issues. And Matthews was hurt, too.
Matthews broke his arm.
Broke his collarbone, I think.
Broke his collarbone?
But, you know, I remember a couple years ago when Philip Rivers was throwing to Sei Asiratutu.
Yeah.
And he was still doing, you know, still putting up MVP caliber numbers. So I think Philip Rivers last year might have been hurt himself.
You and I talked about that. I agree with you because I thought he sucked last year. And it seemed like something was wrong with him other than just not playing well.
Mm-hmm. He had a 20-pick season last year. He'd never had a 20-pick year before. And, you know, I don't think Philip Rivers is suddenly awful. And the example I'm going to give is last year, or 2 years ago, a quarterback in the NFC, led the league in interceptions, and it was Eli Manning. And he had to get, like above 20 interceptions. And last year, he played pretty well. So I'm going to say Philip Rivers is going to have a bounce-back year this year.
The Gates thing might help him, too. Everybody likes Gates for a comeback year, saying he can move around again. He's motivated. His feet don't hurt him anymore. I wasn't ready to say goodbye to Antonio Gates.
But isn't that like the kind of the worst case, not the worst case, but the scary Gronk scenario where Antonio Gates had his best two seasons during his first couple of years as a starter, and then since then, you know, outside of one big year, has kind of been good, but always injured, always kind of struggling, never 100%. Isn't that kind of the fear with Gronkowski?
Patriot fans lived through that with Ben Coates. Giants fans lived through it with Bavaro. You have the best time to have a tight end is early in their career when they're knocking down five guys every time they catch the ball. Mm-hmm. But every one of those hits adds up. It's almost like it's like dunks in basketball where, yeah, Blake Griffin's jumping over the rim right now, but at some point that's going to end. And then what do you have? And with Ben Coates, when it went, it went. It went immediately. You know, it was like it went from he was the most dominant video game tight end of all time. Sorry, Cat Bozo. Could barely get open. But the thing with Gates is I do wonder, with the technology they have now and how big he is, and just maybe you can extend that a little bit. He's only 32. But with that said, I think Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham, much safer bets.
I don't know. Right? I mean, Gronkowski missed his last year of college with a back injury. And we
that
still
is
have
true.
Him with the ankle sprain. You know, it wasn't like he was like some super athlete and he got back, you know, from in 7 days. He was hurt for the Super Bowl. He wasn't close to 100%.
He's a superhero, though. You forget.
He tough dude for gritting it out. But, I mean, he just wasn't the same guy. And reality is, you know, we always think about guys like Adrian Peterson and Rob Gronkowski as, oh, they're super athletes. They're going to recover immediately and they're going to be 100%, you know, after 6 months when it would take another guy a year to get back. And the reality is that's just not the case.
Where do you stand on this Adrian Peterson comeback? Because House and I talked about this in our podcast. I'm incredulous that he's coming back for week one. I just can't believe it. I thought minimum week eight. But I actually thought he was going to miss the whole season because he did the ACL and the MCL. Meanwhile, Barry's telling me to draft him 20th in my he's the 20th ranked fantasy player. I don't get it. Where do you stand?
I love Matthew Barry, but I disagree with him here. I'm not on that bandwagon. I just see a guy who, last year he had the high ankle sprain, and this is a different injury, but bear with me on this. He had the high ankle sprain. He said, okay, I'm coming back in 7 days. He didn't come back for 3 weeks. Yeah. And then when he did come back, he tore his ACL and his MCL halfway through the first game. Adrian Peterson is an awesome athlete, a super tough guy, but it takes longer than that to heal. And you could say, okay, he's going to be back for week one, and maybe like Wes Welker a couple years ago, he will be back for week one. But he's not going to be the same guy. And I think once he gets in the field and he doesn't have a red jersey on, and he has to cut. He can't just run in straight lines. They're going to realize, okay, you know what? He's just not the guy we want him to have it there. And is it really worth having Adrian Peterson out there at 75%, you know, getting 3.5 yards a carry when we have Toby Gerhardt, who's healthy and who can be productive and who's going to outplay Adrian Peterson at 75%? You know, I just don't see it. So maybe he'll be great, and if he is, fantastic. You know, I'm happy to be wrong, but I just don't see him being that guy for at least half a season.
Last season, everybody was really excited to make the Atlanta Falcons the potential Super Bowl champ preseason. They were the preseason pick du jour. This year, maybe this stuff you never really know until like the week of, but it feels like the Lions and the 49ers are the two candidates. What do you think?
I'm not high on either of them. Certainly not the Niners, who have written about at length at at Grantland. My biggest bet this year, I think, is their under bet at 10 wins. There's just so many things that went right for them last year, from their schedule to their health to their turnover margin. You know, all these things that define them as a team and how great they were just aren't sustainable. So either they're going to be this team that can pull it off, that something that no one else in NFL history has ever done, or they're going to decline a lot. And if they do, I mean, are they really going to be the best team in the division? Yeah, probably. But are they going to be a 13-3, you know, force of nature where you are terrified of their defense and their special teams? Probably not.
The best thing they have going for them is bringing the 11 starters back, which in this day and age is a mildly incredible feat. I know, mm-hmm. I know some of those guys are young, but to bring back all 11 of a football unit in 2012 is kind of incredible.
Yeah, and you got to figure that having an offseason with Harbaugh, having a full offseason with Harbaugh is going to be better because he is, if not the best coach in football, one of the top two or three.
Yeah.
But I don't understand, and I wrote about this, I don't think you can reconcile that idea where you have Alex Smith, who is they build as the most conservative quarterback in football. They are happy to, you know, check down on 3rd and 12 and take 2 yards, or 3rd and 7 and take 2 yards and punt, and happy to be conservative in the red zone and take field goals because they don't trust Alex Smith to throw downfield or make big plays down the field or make big decisions. And now you bring in Mario Manningham and Randy Moss and you say, okay, we're going to open up the offense. We're going to bring in Moss and Manningham, and they're going to be, you know, the Moss and Manningham we know. You still have Alex Smith there. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the conservative checkdown guy and the I'm going to throw downfield to Moss and Manningham guy. Alex Smith can't do both those things. So
it's breaking out great for. God, I hate it. The Giants, yet again, under the radar. 2 Super Bowls in the last 4 or 5 years, whatever. 4 years? Yeah.
I think it's 5 years.
Because God forbid the NFL just stuck to whatever number the year was. It's like, did the Patriots lose in 2008 or 2007 to the Giants? I don't know. We'll never know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Giants are sitting here with a chance to – pull off a third bowl here in a pretty short span and become kind of the defining team of the second half of this decade.
Which seems crazy for a team that couldn't beat the Redskins twice last year.
Right. You could flip it around the other way and say they haven't had their peak season yet.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is their best regular season was the year after the Super Bowl, after the first Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And, you know, they were pretty bad in the playoffs. They, got outplayed by the Eagles and, really didn't play all that well. And the reality is the Giants are such a weird, erratic team. I mean, they are capable of anything, as we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, from losing to the Redskins twice comfortably to, you know, beating the Patriots 3 times comfortably. It's just, you never know what you're going to get with them. And it's hard, you know, in that division with the schedule they're going to have to really say, okay, we're going to go 13-3. It's just hard for me to really believe that.
But if you're them... If you're Tom Coughlin, you couldn't ask for a better offseason between Tebow mania with the Jets. They've taken 95% of the headlines away from you locally. And then nationally, nobody's talking about him. Everybody's ready to anoint whoever the next, you know, is it going to be the Lions? Is it going to be the Falcons? Is it going to be the Niners? Is it going to be the Packers? Everybody's looking for an excuse not to pick the Giants because it's boring to pick the Giants. It's boring to say they're going to be as good as they were last year, and they're just sitting there in the weeds like usual. Makes
True.
Me mad.
That's where they love to be. And you know what? They did have an issue with Kim Nix, where Nix is going to be out probably a couple weeks. But, you know, they were a very deep team, and you saw what happened last year when they needed to go to Victor Cruz. They brought in Victor Cruz off the bench, and he was phenomenal. I mean,
you didn't lose anybody major, right? I'm saying you like you're on the team. You are a giant Giants fan.
I am a Giants shareholder, obviously. Lost Aaron Ross.
Okay.
You know, again, starting cornerback, but with a guy who was a fourth stringer or third stringer for the year who anyone could have had for a mid-round pick and no one wanted. The offensive line's kind of reshuffling a little bit. It's still the same core guys. It's still the same, you know, pretty much the same team. Brandon Jacobs, I guess, maybe. They have the potential to be a 13-win team if everything breaks right. I just think, you know, again, having the Eagles, having a better Cowboys team, I think they're probably going to go 10-6 or 9-7, which, you know, there's no shame in that, but I don't know if that gets them into the playoffs necessarily.
I think they're going to be good. The Cowboys also look like they're going to be good, but we say this every single year. And every year they do something to screw it up, so I'm going to withhold a major opinion on that one. You, I thought, were a little hard on the Denver Broncos. And I, you know, it, they fit a lot of what you like to focus on. Like the, there's a lot of regression. Well, yeah. And there was all legitimate arguments. Like, yeah, they won some lucky games last year. That will never be recreated. At the same time, you know, even if Manning, and listen, I wouldn't go near the guy in the fantasy draft. If you gave me the over-under of how many games he's going to start this year, 10.5, I'd go under. I'm not sold on him, you know, being Manning. But you ruled out any chance that they could make the Super Bowl, basically. And I think they still have a puncher's chance, because if Manning can get back to like 90% of what he was and his force of personality, him being in FU mode very quietly that the Colts let him go, the upgrade of him as a passing quarterback and somebody on the field like managing the game versus Tebow, it's and a crap division. Like it's you can't rule it out. Like, are you really ruling it out?
I think you might want to blame Grantland editor Michael Philbrick for that headline.
Yeah! Oh! Bustrow! We're like the Jets. We're like Jets. We're blaming each other.
I feel pretty comfortably saying they're not going to make the Super Bowl, and here's why.
Okay.
If it had just been all my numbers and nerdy stuff versus Peyton Manning, I would have avoided the conversation altogether, because Peyton Manning has a way of overcoming the numbers.
True.
But here's the hard part. The schedule they have to play is so phenomenally difficult. They play the AFC North. They play the NFC South, which I think is the toughest division in football. And the AFC North is certainly not a cakewalk either. And everyone else in the AFC West has to play those teams. They also play at New England and at home against Houston. And no one else in the AFC West has to play those teams.
They play at New England for the first time since like 1780. Time we go to Denver, this is the first time. It has to be since the 1990s that they've come to New England.
That is the mandated Peyton Manning Tom Brady game. It happens every year.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
That'll be a fun game. But they don't have to play. You know, the Chargers don't have to play the Texans and Patriots, and that's where I think it comes down to. I don't think they're going to get a wild card, because the division's going to be too tough, or the schedule's going to be too tough. But if they can beat the Texans and Patriots, they win the division. If they go 0-2, and I think they're going to go 0-2, there's no way they win the division. And if they go 1-1, they got a shot. But I just think that they're, you know, for everything Peyton Manning offers, I don't think they have the personnel that fits Peyton Manning on offense yet. Maybe they will next year, but they don't have a running back who can play that role that Joseph Addai and Edgerrin James played for the Colts. Willis McGahee is just not that guy.
Yeah,
their wide receivers, I think Eric Decker is going to be a good fit for Manning, but Demaryius Thomas is not a precise route runner. You know, is a hell of an athlete, guy who can take over games. This guy who fits Tebow, a guy who can, you know, win jump balls and, you know, make big plays downfield. Peyton Manning doesn't work with guys like that. Peyton Manning works with guys like Marvin Harrison, who run fantastic routes. Their offensive line, you know, healthy last year for 80 starts, but certainly some issues. A young line that's going to have some trouble. Their center is not Jeff Saturday, which Manning's had his entire career pretty much. And the defense, I mean, just you have two pass rushers who are great, but no one else in that defense is really above average besides Champ Bailey. And I mean, you know, they're going to be in a lot of shootouts, and having Peyton Manning on your side for shootouts is great, but they're not going to win all of them.
My biggest fear with the Patriots, I really like this Patriots team they put together, and it looks like, by all accounts, they've hit the lottery with Chandler Jones. Which is about time they hit the lottery with a random defensive guy. I mean, I guess he wasn't so random. They picked him 21st, but really seems like he's going to add something that they haven't had in a long time. The Brandon Lloyd thing, by all accounts, is going to be pretty good and is somebody that they just haven't had since Moss left. The tight ends are healthy. Just everything looks good. Here's my fear. Brady, I think, is he 35 or 36? He's definitely at least 35.
It doesn't matter. Once you're past about 35, once you're past about 33, you're the same guy until you retire.
Let's be honest. Kind of sucked in the Super Bowl.
Didn't he complete like 17 straight passes during the Super Bowl?
He missed the crucial pass of the game that would have clinched the Super Bowl. And also took a safety on the first play. That was a huge momentum play. And really,
yeah, you're telling me.
Listen, I... I'm sure my buddy Hershey, Giants fan, who I know you've listened to talk about the Giants endlessly, still feels like that game should have been over at halftime. And the Giants let the Pats hang around, and he was having a conniption at halftime because he just felt like they had handed the Super Bowl away. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, the history with these QBs, once they hit that 34-35 mark, it's not good. It really isn't. Who, like, can you think of quarterbacks who were able to, you know, we've seen it happen in basketball. We've seen guys like Steve Nash have been able to play into their late 30s at a really high level. We've seen guys like Ray Allen, but it just seems like it's different when you're a quarterback. You just have to be so perfectly precise and efficient at all times. And if it's 2007 Brady running this team, I would be like, look out, man. We're going 19-0. But I don't know. I don't know if he's that guy anymore.
Yeah, maybe Elway would be kind of the one example I can think of a guy who, you know, wasn't maybe at his same caliber that he had been previously, but
right, he could turn it on, but they also they Terrell Davis
right
their way to two Super Bowls, and Elway became kind of the Wade to LeBron in the finals last year.
Right. I mean, if Tom Brady's the guy he was last year, and that defense plays better than it did a year ago, that defense was awful last year. Let's be honest,
it was horrible.
I mean, if Chandler Jones is really that guy, where they, you know, can get a decent pass rush and they can keep Mayo healthy, they can keep Patrick Chung healthy, you know, they can be, you know, if it's last year's Brady, yes, they can certainly win a Super Bowl. I mean, Brady would there's still another tier between the guy Brady is now and the guy Brady would have to be for them to have to replace Brady and not win a Super Bowl with Brady. I mean,
you're still going to need the best player on your team still needs to come through in a big moment. But sure. When the league is this close. And I think we're headed that way again. Last year, we talked about it last year. There's seven teams that probably could have won the Super Bowl if three plays had gone differently. Mm-hmm. I think we're headed toward another year like that. Like, people are asking me, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? It's like, I can give you a list of seven teams that have a good chance. I think it would be absolutely inane to pick one of them.
Well, I think that's why you're seeing people in Vegas. There's something, you know, the real action's coming on kind of those second-tier teams where you're seeing – you know, teams like the Bears are getting fed up super fast to win the Super Bowl because they figure, oh, well, you know, seven or eight teams have a shot, then why don't, you know, I'd rather have the Bears at 15-1 than have the Packers at 4-1.
You want to get in that circle. Mm-hmm. Just want to crack the circle. It could be five teams this year. It could be seven. It could be eight. I still feel like, you know, if Schaub doesn't get hurt, maybe Houston is the AFC representative last year. I don't know how good that Patriots team was. Like, really should have lost that Ravens game.
And remember, the Texans almost beat the Ravens in Baltimore with TJ.
With third stringer, yeah. I think if you're a Texans fan, you're getting more and more bummed out by the month. It's not. There's no healing process yet. You're still like wondering what the hell just happened. Mm-hmm. But now, so they lost Mario Williams. Wait, how did you feel about how they did from last year to this year?
I wasn't a fan, and I think that I love Arian Foster as a person. I think he's a fantastic. I think you can't ask for anything more from Arian Foster as a football player than what he's put out there the past couple of years. But you just can't spend money on running backs in that, you know, in that system. I mean, Denver was the perfect example. They signed Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis got hurt. They you know, brought in a bunch of, you know, guys off the street, you know, rookie free agents. They spent a second round pick on Clinton Portis, and everyone they used was pretty great. They weren't Terrell Davis, but they were 85 or 90% of Terrell Davis for $400,000 as opposed to whatever Terrell Davis was making.
So wait, so you would have let Arian Foster go and promoted Ben Tate?
Here's the thing. Arian Foster was a restricted free agent this year. He wasn't even an unrestricted free agent. So they could have done the Mike Wallace thing. They could have tendered him at the highest level and said, you know what? If you want to give us a first-round pick for Arian Foster, we'll take it. Or we'll re-sign him, one or the other. Nobody would. I don't think anyone would have given them a first-round pick for Arian Foster.
Which should have been a red flag.
Right. So if it was an unrestricted free agent, then yes, I would have given Ben Tate the job for sure. But because, you know, it's unfair to say because I did this, they didn't do this. But the reality is they let Mike Brazil, their right guard, go. Eric Winston, their right tackle, got released and is one of the best right tackles in football, I think. So you have half your line with the Texans now being replaced, where that offensive line was so good last year and so much of a Foster and Tate's value is in that offensive line. Yeah. They weren't able to re-sign Mario Williams. I think they kind of chose to let him go because they have Connor Barwin and Brooks Reed behind him, who are two pretty good outside linebackers. But, you know, you do have some turnover there and some issues there. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if the running game is going to be as good as it was a year ago. And, yeah, you got to figure Schaub's going to be better. You know, Schaub's going to be healthier. But I think they're going to be a good team in a bad division. I think they're, you know, almost a lock to win the division because no one else in the division really has a prayer. But I just don't know. I just think that they kind of last year might have been their year.
So Indy's in that division in Jacksonville. Who's the fourth team? Blanking. Tennessee. So we're ruling out Tennessee.
Absolutely. I have no faith in Jake Locker. I have no faith in any team that's going back and forth between quarterbacks right now. And I just don't think Jake Locker is going to be a good NFL quarterback. And I think that Matt Hasselbeck is, you know, probably going to be okay, but I don't think they're going to give Hasselbeck a big opportunity.
God, Houston won the lottery with that division, huh?
Sure did. After a decade of having the Colts, you know, just single-handedly dominate the division, now it might be the Texans' turn.
And the Colts shed so much salary that it would be literally impossible for them to win six games.
I don't know. I'm not with you there. I think that again, it's the issue of last year they replaced one of the top two or three quarterbacks in football with maybe one of the bottom two or three quarterbacks in football. That's why they were so terrible. If they can just get an average year from Andrew Luck in his rookie year, if they can get, you know, league average play, if they can get the 25th best quarterback in football, and, you know, they might have some turnaround potential there. They also replaced a terrible coach in Jim Caldwell with a good one, possibly a good one, certainly a disciplinarian kind of, you know, tough guy in Chuck Pagano. They still have some talent on defense, and you know, they still have a couple of good wide receivers, so I don't know. I think they're going to
listen. Nothing would make me happier than a Colts renaissance post Manning. I would love that. I hope you're right.
I'm in the 6-10, 7-9 range. I'm not saying okay, they're going to, you know, surprise everyone and make the playoffs, but I think they're going to. I think people are kind of writing them off as just a terrible team, kind of like the Panthers last year.
Well, here's the thing: if you're in a terrible division that only has one good team, odds are there's a second team that will be better than you think just by attrition.
Right.
So once that ball gets rolling, you don't really know. Who knows? Like, what if they start out the season 3-1 randomly and Andrew Luck's just awesome and everybody gets fired up and the Colts fans are, you know, and it just kind of snowballs. It's possible. That reminds me, who do you think is this year's secretly lousy team that gets the fast start and snowballs and suddenly they're in the playoffs and we can't believe it? Because I haven't done my research for that yet.
I'm saying Buccaneers. I really think that they just, you know, everything went wrong for them second half of last season. And I think that, again, they're not going to be a fantastic football team, but I think they're going to have some things go right. So I'm going to say the Buccaneers are that team for me this year.
I've been looking at them. Mm-hmm. You know, my man Josh Freeman lost some weight.
I heard you enjoy Josh Freeman a little bit.
He lost some weight. I don't know if you read about this.
Is he in the best shape of his career?
He's in the best shape of his career. That's right. There's been best shape of his career stories about Josh Freeman. We might be getting back together. Now that Tebow's on the Jets, I need another quarterback.
And you know what? Josh Freeman had that. He had that a couple years ago. He was not exactly Tebow, but he was a, you know, he had some late game heroics. He certainly. I don't think he's the problem with that team. I'll say that much.
Week one at home for Carolina.
Yeah, not a losable game.
This gets tough. Week two and three at New York, at Dallas. I mean, at New York Giants, at Dallas.
Yeah, that's not exactly the easiest schedule. Then Washington, Kansas City, New Orleans, tough. Minnesota, Oakland. I mean, that's a pretty winnable stretch of game.
I'm going to look at Indianapolis' schedule because you got me fired up.
You're on the Andrew Luck bet. That's the hard part this year is everyone believes Andrew Luck's going to be a franchise quarterback. But if you're in a keeper league, you know, how early do you reach for Andrew Luck knowing that you might have him at, you know, a fifth round level for a year or two in your league?
You just basically tank your season like the Colts did last year.
Yeah, but do you do that for a guy if you think he's going to be the real, like, you know, next Peyton Manning? You kind of have to, huh?
Look at the Colts at Chicago, week one.
A tough matchup.
Home for Minnesota, and then home for Jacksonville, bye week. That's their first 4 weeks.
You can see those articles where it's, oh, the Colts are 2-1. Maybe they got a shot this year, you know.
No, let me throw this at you. Every week there's a random, inexplicable week one upset. Right?
Question, yeah.
Where everybody's like, everybody puts one of the home teams in a tease. Oh, I don't have to worry about that game. Then something stupid happens. Colts going 3-0. I certainly wouldn't bet on it, but.
It's possible, right? Yeah, you realize you're just making Mace furious right now.
Mace told me, Robert Mace, who works for Grantland, Chicago fan, told me he's 100% in on Brandon Marshall. That it's going to work. 100% in, he said. 100%.
How can anyone be 100% in on Brandon Marshall?
That was my point. I think he's gone crazy.
I'm going to give you this. I have three possible matchups where you have, you know, good road team. Everyone expects to make the playoffs, you know, almost a lock, versus home team where people think they aren't that good and you know, kind of have their doubts. There are three good ones, I think.
In week one, you're talking
about.
In week
one.
Okay.
I know that you're still doing your research, but I'm going to let you pick one because I have no idea. Atlanta versus Kansas City. Atlanta at Kansas City, I should clarify.
Okay.
Philadelphia at Cleveland. And right. This is my favorite one. Redskins at New Orleans.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't done the lines yet with Sal, and I don't want to look, but I would think New Orleans would be favored fairly heavily in that game.
I'm going to say win, not cover here.
Yeah. See, I'm looking at week one, and the red flag game to me looks like Dolphins-Texans.
Yeah, if they had Matt Moore, I would have been on the Dolphins bandwagon there. I wouldn't have said they were.
Oh, that's true. It's Tannehill.
I didn't even think of that. That's the bummer this year, is that every week you think, oh, the Dolphins. Yeah, we have the worst quarterback in the NFL playing for us.
Because it's got to be a 1 o'clock game. That's the upset. So the nominees are Colts, Bears, Eagles, Browns. Wouldn't be upset, actually. Colts, Bears, Rams, Lions.
That's another good one, too. You know, I'm perpetually on the Rams bandwagon.
That could be pretty interesting. And then Peter King writes this whole lead for Monday Morning Quarterback about Greg Williams' son and the great defensive plan he devised to beat Matthew Stafford. I could kind of see that happening.
Sam Bradford's back.
Dolphins, Texans. So those would be the three candidates for the upset. Unless you wanted to say Bills, Jets. I think I'd actually pick the Bills and Bills, Jets.
Really?
Bills at Jets. Yeah. I don't like the Jets. Why are the Jets going to be good? Where's the evidence?
Hate the Jets, though.
Huh?
You also have an irrational hatred of the Jets, though, as a Patriot.
I thought they sucked last year.
I don't know if they sucked.
They sucked for what people thought they were.
Yeah, sure. The defense is still good. You know, I still have a lot of faith in the defense. I have major issues with the offense, but that's been no different from the past. And you know, they have managed to be competent with that good of a defense. And maybe
how are they going to score? How are they going to get to 20 points in any game?
You know the answer to that question.
Tebow?
They have Tim Tebow.
God, if he keeps it going this year, I might move back to London. London's very Tebow friendly. You think I should move to New York to be closer to the Savior?
Why wouldn't you?
All right, last question. Hold on, let me look up football odds.
Being closer to the Savior is like being, you know, being at the front of the cabin in the airplane and getting your food choice first.
You move closer. I think that's why you wanted to go back to Vegas.
I listen.
Now you're a train ride away.
Oh, I'm a drive away. Listen, if Tebow calls for me, I would be naive to not respond.
All right, I'm calling up the Super Bowl odds, and then we're letting you go. So. Wow, Carolina 80-1? Really?
That seems
high.
Yeah, I don't know. I was so high on the Panthers last year to go over five games, but I think they kind of stagnate a little bit this year. I think Cam is such a good quarterback.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant Arizona 80-1.
Oh, Arizona's the worst team in football.
80-1 though? They're 88 last
year. I would
not
take Arizona at 160-1.
Okay.
They to me, and again, I'm going to write this, but I think they're the worst team in football. I think that. They have a quarterback competition where no matter what happens, they lose.
America loses. Larry Fitzgerald and Larry Fitzgerald's fantasy owners also lose.
Larry Fitzgerald loses for sure.
Are you surprised by Detroit at 25-1? That seems
high. Not really. I think people are kind of, you know, people see that steady climb with Detroit where it was, okay, we're terrible. We're a little better than terrible. Now we're good. And people are thinking, oh, they're going to keep going on that path. They're going to be great. I don't know. I just think that defense is still pretty rough. You know, outside of the front four, I think the secondary is really bad. And you know, if Matthew Stafford gets hurt again, which is certainly possible, you know, are they going to be the same team? I don't know.
How can we live in a world where the Giants have 18-1 Super Bowl odds and Philadelphia has 10-1 Super Bowl odds?
People want to believe in the Eagles. They're you know, it's so easy to fall for the Eagles. I'm already falling for the Eagles. I fell for them last year. I'm probably going to fall for them again this year. You know, they're such a lovable team.
I will not be falling for the Eagles.
Because when they're good, they're so good.
Houston 10-1 is pretty convincing, as I don't think they'll win the Super Bowl, but just as a pure play, because at least you know you're winning the division there.
Right, and you think, you know, you have a good shot at getting a home field, you know, getting a bye during the first round, and
yeah,
there's some value in that.
Worst case scenario, you're a 3 seed.
Right, exactly. Out here, there's been some weird shifts from book to book, where like at one book, the Falcons will be at like 15 or 18 to 1, and then in another book, they'll be 36 to 1 to win the Super Bowl.
I'm looking at 25 to 1 for them here. You know, they could be a real beneficiary from the Saints if the Saints season doesn't go.
Right, doesn't that make sense? Where, you know, if you figure they're the top teams in the division and the Saints aren't going to be that team again, even if you figure Tampa Bay gets better, if you figure Carolina's going to be competent, you know, and I really have to say, I think everyone in America is on the Julio Jones bandwagon this year.
That is true. He had a really sneaky great season last year for a rookie.
Yeah, and you know what? And he was, when he was healthy, he was phenomenal. Yeah. And you got to figure it's kind of like Calvin Johnson, where Calvin Johnson was hurt the first year, really had some injury issues, and then the second year, he was like the best wide receiver in football.
Cool. So you driving back to Boston, or are you flying?
I am flying. I am not. That is a drive I am not willing to take, especially during like the last few days of football preview season.
I'd where are you watching?
I was driving.
Where are you watching Week One?
Hopefully. I'll have you know, my setup at my own house, but DirecTV is famous for having technical issues the first week of the season. I think if I could bet on Sunday ticket not working during the first half of the 1 p.m. games during Week One, I would bet on it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm still kind of skeptical, but I will be in Boston, hopefully with working televisions for the Giants Cowboys game.
And we are collaborating on a column, kind of sort of next week. I won't give away the theme, but I'm excited for it.
I'm very excited for it. I think it'll be very entertaining. I'll say that much.
Yes, I agree. All right, Bill Barnwell, thanks as always. You're doing great stuff on Grantland. Check out Bill on Grantland.com. He's writing every day somehow. I don't know how he has the energy. Thanks for coming out. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.